Hey, Kirsty Melville here with you. This is Earshot, and in this episode, it's time to get your hips moving as we head off to the Caribbean island of Jamaica, which has a long and proud musical history. These days, though, it's not so much the reggae, but dancehall. That's the music that's playing day and night on the streets of Kingston. Dr. Matt Baker is RN's former scientist in residence, and he happens to love this music. Earlier this year, he travelled to Kingston with his friend, Dr. Ben Etherington, who's a literature academic from Western Sydney University. And so right now, we're going to join them on the streets of Kingston to hear the pulsating sound of dancehall and to find out why this music is so important to the culture of contemporary Jamaica.
Yeah, you know, this is Saga Warrior, representing for ABC Australia. I'm here to say, drop the one and know Australia Radio, ABC. Let me tell you.
I'm Matt Baker, and during the week, I'm a scientist who studies how bacteria swim. But on the weekend, I'm a DJ for Sensible Dancehall, playing the latest Caribbean hits that I love. Last year, I was fortunate enough to be named one of the ABC's top 5 under 40 scientists. And it got me thinking, wouldn't it be great if, aside from the science stuff on The Science Show and The Health Report, if I could take you, a Radio National listener, to Jamaica to hear this world of dancehall music and understand why it so profoundly represents modern Jamaica.
And I'm Ben Etherington, a lecturer at Western Sydney University. I've known Matt since we were both studying for PhDs in the UK. His in biophysics and mine in literature. I've travelled to Jamaica a few times, hunting in the archive for poetry in Jamaican patois from a century ago. Like Matt, I've also become addicted to dancehall music. In January, we linked up in Kingston for 7 consecutive nights of dancehall parties in order to experience this unique music scene and learn how it works.
With dancehall, it starts with the loudspeakers, or the sound. And big sound is a point of pride. It's all about getting weighty bass with clear mids and treble. The speakers are handmade on the island with knowledge that passes down from maker to maker, one generation to the next. A lot of these sounds have been produced just west of Midtown out of Jam One Studios in Richmond Park. That's where Tony Jam One, the president of the Jamaican Sound System Federation, has his workshop.
You have a lot of sounds in Jamaica, over 800 sounds, good sounds. I'm not talking about the liquor stuff, big sounds. The sound system is the thing we build in the country. Dennis Brown, Bob Marley, all of them used to be singing on sounds. Basically, the sound system in Jamaica, most of the good sounds used to be like a filter for all the good singers. Before you pass that level to go on the radio, we got to pass you on the sound system.
What kind of advice do you give them to help tune it?
The sound got to be tuned at the right tune, and then they will know the music is right. You know, distortion and all like that. I've got the knowledge and certain stuff from like a King Jammies. He's one of the biggest producers in Jamaica, a personal friend.
This is a song of the old time proverbs.
Yeah. King Jammy? Ben, didn't he produce Sleng Tang in the 1980s? You know, da 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 dun dun.
Yeah, Sleng Tang, the track regarded as the first ever dancehall rhythm. Why don't we ask Jammy how he uses the sound system to produce his music?
So we paid him a visit at his top floor studio in Waterhouse, West Kingston, where he was busy mixing a new reggae track.
In Jamaica, records wasn't being played on the radio as much as now, you know, not popular like now. So we used to use the sound system for our radio station. We used to send out new songs before it even released, and then we go to the dance and watch the reaction of the people. We listen to their comments also. Somebody may hear the song and say, you know, King, you know, it needs a little more lyrics in that part. And we'll come back to the studio and readjust.
Sleng Tang heralded the arrival of the synthesizer onto the reggae scene. From there, dancehall soon developed. Producers refer to the instrumental on a dancehall track as a rhythm.
Well, when we were doing Sleng Tang, we didn't know it would reach that far. When we started doing Sleng Tang, you know, then as it progresses, I felt this urge of saying this is a new thing and this is going to, you know, captivate the world, because the beat was so new, the sound was new. I built the rhythm and then I put a special on the rhythm and send it out on the sound system at the dance. Then when I went to the dance, I saw how the people accepted it. So that's how I know it was going to be a big rhythm.
So how does dancehall differ from the reggae that came before it? We asked Dennis Howard, a musicologist and commentator, to explain.
Reggae, musically, it is a syncopated beat with the emphasis on the third beat. That's what we call one drop. But reggae can also have a syncopation on the second and the fourth beat. Some people prefer to say it's on the third because of the one drop. So it's one, two, three, four, one, two, three, four. And then some people still insist that it's still the syncopation of ska and rocksteady, which is one, two, three, four. So that's just a syncopation.
And what and what's dancehall in comparison?
Dancehall now is a more a faster beat. It's still a syncopated beat, but it's one, two, three, one, two, three, one, two, three, that sort of thing.
You've got a rhythm, but who sings on your track? In dancehall, multiple artists will sing over the same instrumental, competing to have the best lyrics. The big night on Tuesdays is Bozy, a weekly party at Halfway Tree in central Kingston.
That's where we saw Beanie Man, one of dancehall's biggest artists. He's a Grammy Award winner who's recorded with Rihanna, Janet Jackson and Kanye West. But at Bozy, he's just standing there quietly having a drink. His 1998 chart topper, Who Am I, was the first dancehall tune to reach the top 10 in both the UK and the US. And it was also the very first dancehall track I ever heard. We locked Beanie Man down for an interview to find out exactly how he ended up singing over the playground rhythm, the famous instrumental behind this smash hit.
First of all, I'm the last artist to go on the rhythm, and I actually recorded on the mixed version. The rhythms that already mixed was just ready to package to go out, and then I actually heard the Sean Paul song on the radio.
So you actually had a new Beamer.
Yeah.
When you got back, straight back from the tour,
yeah.
You had a new Beamer.
Yeah.
And that was the inspiration for the
yeah,
the hook.
Got the keys. I was coming from North American tour. Yeah. Came off and picked up my car. I was just get the Beamer thing, and it was a brand new car at the time. So, you know, me driving the car and me hear the rhythm, boom, dun, 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 dun. And Sean Paul, I'm gonna wanna bass, let me forget the music and the heart till the right and the shit. And then play about the rhythm and start singing. Simma, who got the keys to my Beamer? Oh my. So I'm gonna go home, finish the lyrics. 6 o'clock in the morning, I'm gonna wake up Jeremy Harding, it's about 7:30, minutes to 8 in the morning. And yeah, the song done record about 10 o'clock. By the next week, the song is the biggest song in the country. So it was a life thing, because my brother, him actually named Simma. So it's actually a person, me actually asked him, Kaki, Sim Simma, who got the keys to my Beamer? So it's actually my brother really asked.
Sim Simma, who got the keys to my Beamer? Who am I? The girls, them sugar. How can I make love to a fella in a rush? Pass me the keys to my chops.
Beanie Man still uses the Kingston sound systems for essential workshopping of his new material. Unfinished and unmastered tracks are tested at the party and then taken back to the studio and fixed for the final mix.
That is what dancehall is till today. It's the only platform for the music. Every selector have a segment that they play new songs. All those songs are unmixed. They just get a little balance at the studio and they come to the dancehall for your old song. So it's good to see your people, them who's gonna be your core audience forever and gonna be your core fans forever, standing in the same party with you.
I headed to the countryside to grab some shout-outs from one of my favourite singers.
While I took the opportunity to head uptown to the University of the West Indies to chat to dancehall expert Sonia Nair, I wanted to find out a little bit more about the organisation of the parties. Where and when do they happen? How are they set up? Who regulates them?
So these locations are abandoned lots, yards. People would have dance events at the back of their yards. sound systems would be strung up in specific locations on a weekly basis. So not industrial sites, for example, but certainly sites that have been captured and created, never sites given by the state for entertainment on the part of the people. The ecology of the dance, it centers around dancing, and so the central space in any dance event is that area set aside for dancing. And that space is never occupied until the people who are the seasoned dancers, when they arrive, that is when that space is used. The sound system has its space. The turntable is set up in a particular location. Then you have, of course, the towers, the speaker towers being erected, usually three, in three specific spaces.
Taking the nice and easy until later on. Okay.
Dances happen every night of the week. First come the older patrons around 10 p.m. expecting classic tunes.
All right, now that's going to be an early crew in here.
Because in the earlies, you have the older music played.
This is Jimmy Solo, Dennis Howard's dad. He was a singer and party promoter in the 1980s, and he's still well respected in the community today.
Right? So we'll have a lot of younger, bigger people there from very early. But probably by about 11, 12 o'clock, that set kind of start to leave. And the other set come in now, which you have the hardcore style, DJ style now, where the DJ them chat and tell the girl them what to do and, you know.
Close out your mouth!
So it's like a two-fold thing. You don't have a one dynamics through the whole thing. So you have the older folks and the younger folks enjoy themselves at the one spot.
The older crowd get there early, but the young crowd get there late. When we turned up early, we waited around awkwardly and very visibly. We wondered if a party was actually going to happen. I asked Sonia about timing.
So you go at 1 o'clock, you go at midnight, you're worried about whether this event is going to happen, but all of a sudden, at 2 a.m., you see people filing out of these communities, out of their homes, like ants. And they know the event is going to happen, and they, on target, enter these events to celebrate.
So we are the DJ, no circle.
Here's Shakespeare, a dancer and celebrity in the Kingston scene. He's known for his late-night stamina.
And when do you sleep?
When me to sleep? When I come for a party in the morning, like any time after 9 in the morning, 9 p.m. or 8 p.m. in the morning, you know?
8 a.m.
Yeah.
8 a.m., yeah?
Yeah, 9 a.m. or 8 a.m., whatever time I come from the party. That's why I just go to sleep and then
so
I wake
up. How much sunlight do you see a day?
Almost sunlight, like maybe 2 hours of sunlight I see in the day. Because dancehall is all about my lifestyle, and dancehall, without dancehall I won't survive. That's how I pay my rent, that's how I pay my bills. Dancehall.
But we work for the people, and we know the people deserve what they're getting, because there's no job. So we have to create all this for them.
Witty runs Uptown Mondays, the only uptown dance and one that uniquely brings the affluent uptown and the disadvantaged downtown together. He and his son explain that a lot of people rely on him to make a living and even for their healthcare.
So if you look early on in the day, they're coming from way downtown, push a cart uptown to sell some food. So we create that. Like last week, we have some doctors from the States, blood pressure tests, dancehall people, by the time they wake, the day is over. So we bring the doctor to the dancehall, all for free.
Dancehall create one of the biggest incomes for people in this country, because you have the jerk chicken man, you have the cane man. We have staff, we have more than 25 people on staff here. My father goes out 7 nights a week, and people, when they see him, they wait on him just for income, for a school fee or food.
Marcus barbecues jerk chicken, but he can't sell any chicken without a party.
My name is Marcus, but I'm called my Bling Dogs. Yeah, I'm selling my chicken to all the people support. You see me? If the music not playing, nobody not go buy no chicken. When they dance like half the people, them becks, them not spend no money when police turn off the dance. Them becks, cause them not done party. So if no music not playing, we can't jerk no chicken. We can't make no money.
Here's Whitty's security guard, who told us she's dancehall's only female bouncer.
My name is Vivica. Huh? I'm a security. Search the back for weapons, no alcohol in the party, wait inside. That's my work.
Do you ever have any problems?
Yeah. For instance, I search on a guy, I find a gun. He don't have a license. I have to send him out back. Okay? You find a boy with a knife. You don't want to left it. So you send him out back. Me and people don't really quarrel because I'm a people person. I know he's a bad man from a sea with a gun without a license. Yeah. So I'm not going to ball it out because you maybe come back and kill me. So I just say, no, you can't go inside. You got to move.
You get to travel to a lot of places and you meet a lot of people.
The truckman, who sets up, packs down and drives the sound system around, shares a sense of responsibility for his culture.
You know, it's interesting. You get to party. You work, although you're working, but you get to party and travel and meet different people and go all over Jamaica. Yes, it's very important. I'm preserving it, you know, for I've seen it change over the years. Different genres of music, and I'm preserving it.
We're gonna bring the rhythm now. Where the rhythm, man? Come on, man. Tie the kangaroo down now. You tie the kangaroo down. Tie the kangaroo down now. You tie
the parties are where it all comes together. But where does this musical journey begin? Jamaicans have a long musical history and have always felt a responsibility to maintain their artistic traditions.
The Alpha Institute is a school for boys at risk. It was established by nuns in the 19th century and is famous for producing some of Jamaica's finest musicians. My friend Josh Chamberlain is a music director at the school.
Right now we are on the campus of Alpha Institute, East Kingston. Alpha's music program helped launch the careers of jazz pioneers, ska innovators, reggae icons. Grammy nominee Winston Foster is perhaps the most well-known. The Scatolites are definitely well-known. They all got their start at Alpha Boys School. Sister Ignatius is perhaps the biggest, I like to say, rock star. She is the one who really drove the music program while she was here at Alpha from the middle of the 20th century up until 2004 when she passed away. She's known familiarly as the Mother Teresa of reggae music. And a lot of the people that went through the music program when she was here really credit her with instilling our appreciation for music. She was also quite progressive. She bought a sound system so she could play music for the students in a way that wasn't available on the radio at the time.
Every Saturday when I was in Alpha, every Saturday they play, they got a sound system.
Alpha alumnus Winston Foster, aka Yellow Man.
You got Sister Ignatius. Well, she passed away now. She used to have a sound system, so I used to DJ over the sound system, you know.
Sister Peggy is a recent arrival at Alpha. She told us about the way Sister Ignatius would use the sound system to entertain, but also to maintain order.
Sister Ignatius Davies would turn on the local radio station over a sound system every evening after the boys were already in their dorms. And we're talking about a lot of boys in those days. When she would come down the back staircase, the boys could see the shadow of Sister Ignatius coming down. They knew that when she came down, it was lights out.
Alpha's bandmaster, his name is Sparrow Martin. Mr. Martin was a resident of Alpha, just like all the bandmasters before him. He played with Bob Marley, He played with Carlos Malcolm in the Afro-Caribs. He played with a number of different well-known musicians. He came back to Alpha in the mid-80s at the request of Sister Ignatius to lead the music program.
For instance, we'll take a song like a folk song. And we might take the folk song from Australia. And there's a song that they do. Tie me kangaroo down, sport. Tie me kangaroo down. Now in Jamaica, there are musicians who can take it and put it in different rhythm pattern. They can put it in a mento. They can put it in a ska. They can put it in a jazz. See, you're getting the rhythm there. They can put it in a rock steady. They can put it in a dub. They can put it in a reggae, or they can put it for a dance hall. You know, so things like that. But you have to be properly trained to get the understanding of the feel.
My name is Sergio Watson, and I am a second-year student at Alpha.
My name is Charles Biggs. My stage name is Little Legend. I want to become a musician, keyboardist, the best keyboardist in the world.
So when you walk through the street, are you quite proud of the Alpha uniform?
Of course. I walk in my head high every day, coming to school and going home.
Dancehall artists sing about all aspects of Jamaican life. Not just classic bling topics like cars and cash, sex, drugs and crime, but also poverty, inequality and international politics. In Jamaica, even what you drink has political resonance. Beanie Man explained to us that his 2011 hit Rum and Red Bull was in fact a kind of social commentary.
Everything in Jamaica is social commentary. Government for runaway, social commentary. Police are killing innocent people, social commentary. So everything in Jamaica is all about that. The drinking now, you're not going to have plenty of it because it's social commentary. All the money can afford is rum and Red Bull. So when you sing for the little man, you sing for the mass. Because the massive cannot afford a bottle of anything. So you might drink some rum and Red Bull, so you have to cater for that.
I'm drinking rum and Red Bull, and you see, let me heart full. Them want me get awful, like them on the dance, I'll get grapple. And I'm
I must have purchased hundreds of rum and Red Bulls around the time this song was released. And to be honest, I struggle to avoid buying one whenever I hear it.
So what role does sponsorship play in the dancehall business generally?
At one stage, you couldn't get anybody to sponsor anything that was surrounded Jamaican popular music.
Musicologist Dennis Howard.
If it was a dance, they wouldn't get any sponsorship. If it was a concert, you weren't able to get it because the corporate Jamaica and Jamaican popular culture, they didn't see eye to eye. Jamaicans at a certain class looked down on Jamaican popular music and Jamaican popular culture, the dance, the art, the music, every aspect of it. So there's this classism that still is not as prevalent, but it still exists. So it's come a far way from not being accepted to Bob Marley being iconic in Jamaica. Back in the days when Bob Marley was alive, he was the dancehall hero. He was the hero of the common man, but certainly not the hero of the establishment.
If Bob Marley was the rebel hero of reggae, Vybz Kartel is the anti-establishment figure of dancehall. A prolific and gifted lyricist, he started a movement for disaffected youth. He called it Gaza in reference to the conflict in Palestine.
But in 2014, he was jailed as an accessory to murder after ordering one of his crew via an SMS text message to chop up the boy lizard, Fine Fine.
We talked to Annie Paul, an influential commentator on Jamaican culture, about how figures like Kartel are blurring the line between gangster persona and gangster reality.
With DJs like Bounty Killer and that generation and the generation before, you had to act like a bad man. You had to pretend to be bad, you know, and it was a performance of badness. But with Vybz Kartel and Mavado, and they are bad men, you know? They're not just performing it. They are like dons, you know?
So why is it only a figure like Cartel, speaking on behalf of the poor, who gets prosecuted?
You never see people at the top punished or even charged, much less tried and found guilty, you know? But I wonder how, you know, every time I go to a political function or a elite function, how many of the people I'm mixing with may not also have arranged for people to be killed, for all sorts of horrible crimes, you know, because there is so much crime and so much killing in this society. I'm sure it's not just the people at the bottom who are responsible for everything, right? Your dance hall is sort of unapologetic, it's brash, it's in your face, it's loud, and it's a space where people who are at the bottom of society are totally comfortable, they're in charge, you know, they rule, and there's a certain sanctuary, you know, for them.
This really hit home on our final night. It was the 1st of February, and to mark the start of Black History Month, the music suddenly stopped.
We stood there, awestruck, listening to Martin Luther King's voice echo around the yard at an insanely loud volume. Powered by a tower of speakers, the sound system at the heart of the party segued smoothly into 2016's latest hit, My Dream, by the singer Nesbitt. Today, music and politics are still firmly entwined in Jamaican society. Dancehall provides not only the soundtrack to an epic party, but also a sanctuary and a voice for Jamaicans. And this message spreads far beyond a small island nation of only 3 million people.
You have to big up everybody in Australia. And big up Glenn McGrath, the whole of the cricketer them in Australia. Straight, bone crusher said that.
Zaga, this is me, the man, the king of the dancehall. Representing for Radio National.
Long live Jamaican music. People wouldn't know, but it's worldwide. Trust me.
Look at me now, where them treat me less than gold. Put me in a box like a rectangle. Oh, oh, look at me now, oh. Look at me now, oh, look at me now. I me ya tell you my life. For them used to go round, no one used to come round me. My life was so lonely. Look at me now, look at me now, look at me now. Me a thank God for me blessing. No me can afford to give back to some of the same people. Them we used to set things, all who used to set him. Nah bust him, can't bust them. See him when I take bus. Come on, stay true, fi call up them. But me still a call up them. Bust them, but me can't trust them. See them, but me not touch them. No hate them, but me can't love them.
From Trenchtown, our next star rise again.
Look at me now, where them treat me less than gold. Put me in a box like a rectangle. Oh oh, look at me now, oh, look at me now, oh, look at me now. I me ya tell you my life, where them used to go round me, go round. No one used to come round me. My life was so lonely. Look at me now, look at me now, look at me now. Look at me now, where them treat me less than gold. Me in a box like a rectangle. Oh oh, look at me now. Oh, look at me now. Oh, look at me now. I me ya tell you my life. For them used to go round me, go round. No one used to come round me. My life was so lonely. Look at me now. Look at me now. Look at me now.
Roast or Fry, Dance Hall in the Yards of Kingston was produced and presented by Matt Baker and Ben Etherington. The supervising producer was Gary Bryson and technical production by Stephen Tilley. This has been Earshot. Thanks for listening. If you like the stories we're telling, then it'd be great if you could quickly pop onto iTunes and give us a rating or a review. It really does help. I'm Kirsty Melville and I'll catch you next time.